made the Tickle Me Elmo toy so famous. Elmo's curiosity, encouragement, and teaching are all a part of who Elmo is, but that laugh and the joy of Elmo is the heart of it all. Somehow, this little red monster reminds us all to see joy and to look for wonder. Recently, I was scrolling through Twitter, and I came across this inquiry. Tell me about the last time you felt childlike joy. So I want you to think about that. When is the last time you felt childlike joy? Here were some of the responses given. My five-year-old recently has this thing where we'll be doing mundane things around the house, and he'll look at me and say, "I love this day." He's really opening my eyes to the goodness of each day. On a summer night a month or two ago, standing in my driveway, I saw an absolute symphony of thousands of fireflies dancing in the fields and trees around me. I held a sparkler for the first time. Silly that it took me so long, but I just stared at it, flickering above my hand against the dark sky. In August, my granddaughter convinced me to get in a tube and go down an enclosed water slide with her. The tunnel was blue and yellow, and we went round and down with racing hearts, with sunlight filtering through and a kaleidoscope of colors, until suddenly we were in water. When is the last time you felt childlike joy? It can be hard to come by in our day-to-day lives. Children help, grandchildren help, nature, family, friends, beauty. In The Message, Eugene Peterson paraphrases our passage with these words: "Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you are on their side, working with them, not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life." My first reaction to these words from Paul is, yes, but, yes, we are to rejoice. We want to rejoice, don't we? But Paul, you don't know how hard life is now. You don't know what members of our congregation are going through. You don't know what our world is like now. Your words sound great, but I can't say these words to people who are going through a tough time. It's easy to throw them around, but the reality is that life is hard, and worry is part of it. And there are no guarantees that things are going to work out. There's plenty of evidence to the contrary. So yes, but, and I can't help but wonder if Paul would respond to my yes, but, with his own yes, but. Yes, Anne Marie, I know that things are hard in your world. I understand that things are not always going to work out, and I know that there is suffering. But I experienced my own suffering, and I still pin end these words, "I do not give them out lightly. I mean them. I believe them." It is thought that this letter was written by Paul while he was in jail. Things were not exactly going along swimmingly for him or for the church. They faced their own problems. This letter is a both and. It is both a recognition of the challenges that the church and the followers of Jesus were facing, and is a recognition of the joy and the peace that can come, even in the midst of discord and suffering. A Bible commentator said this: in his writing to the Philippians, Paul reveals his own disappointment and his own worry. He is disappointed that some missionaries where he is imprisoned are preaching from uncharitable motives. He is worried about other missionaries whom he calls dogs, evil workers, and enemies of the cross of Christ. So Paul gives some admonitions. Beware of these people. Obey and imitate him instead. Maintain your unity and stand firm in the Lord. But the admonitions aren't the end. Paul also remains surprisingly joyful. He rejoices in the continued advance of the gospel in spite of, or maybe even because of, his imprisonment. He rejoices in this special partnership with the Philippians, which has resulted in their gifts and prayers. He rejoices in the recovery of Epaphroditus from a near fatal sickness. And he rejoices in anticipation of the day when Christ will come and the Philippians will be saved, and he will receive a crown for his work. I don't think our world tells us this enough. We can hold all of these different emotions together at once. We can be disappointed and worried and rejoice and be hopeful all at the same time. Jenny Lawson wrote a book titled Furiously Happy about her life with anxiety and depression. She says, one day when she received word that yet another friend had died unexpectedly, she decided that she had had it, and she was going to be furiously happy out of sheer spite. Now, I'm not saying this is exactly a biblical way to live, but she has some wisdom. Over the next few years, she said, I pushed myself to say yes to anything ridiculous. I jumped into fountains that weren't meant to be jumped into. I took impromptu road trips to hunt down UFOs. I chased tornadoes. I'm not necessarily recommending all of these things either. I wore a wolf costume to the local Twilight premiere while shouting Team Jacob at angry vampire fans. In short, I went a little insane in slow but certain spurts, and it was the best possible thing that could have happened to me. This didn't mean that I wasn't still depressed or anxious or mentally ill. I still spent my share of weeks in bed when I simply couldn't get up. I still hid under my office desk whenever the anxiety got too heavy to battle standing up. The difference was that I had a storeroom in the back of my mind filled with moments of tightrope walking and snorkeling in long forgotten caves. And I could remind myself that as soon as I had the strength to get up out of bed, I would again turn my hand to being furiously happy. Not to save my life, but to make my life. Paul is not saying that there is nothing to worry about, or even that our worries aren't important. In Instead, Paul is telling us what we are to do with our worries. Reverend Dr. Alice McKenzie said, "There are a lot of things that we can do ourselves. Home Depot, Lowe's, stores like that are in the business of selling products to people who want to undertake projects themselves. Their slogans like, let's build something together and let's do this, seek to inspire confidence in people so that they can do it themselves." She said, "I used to regard Philippians 4:6, do not worry about anything, as a sort of home improvement slogan. I would read it and try to psych myself up. Let's do this. No anxiety. Who needs it? I am a competent adult. I just need to breathe deeper, summon more faith, and I can achieve that anxiety-free life that Paul is talking about. Let's do this." She said she has no problem psyching herself up in other areas of her life. When her fitness instructor yells out, "Come on, people, you've got this," she thinks, "Yes, I can do this. I've got this." But there are other times when a bad storm comes through and roofs are damaged, and she thinks, "Well, I could learn how to fix a roof, but I think it's better just to call in the professionals." She said her dad, Robert H. Fowler Sr., was the author of 7 historical novels, a publisher of historical magazines, and an amateur historian. He had many talents, but fixing things was not one of them. If the toilet wasn't working, or a shutter had blown off the side of the house, or the garage door was stuck shut, his motto was, "Call somebody." And she asserts that that is the motto that needs to replace "let's do this" when it comes to letting go of anxiety. There is only one to call on who can really help. She says, "I can psych myself up in other areas of my life, but I need God to bring peace to my soul." She suggests that Paul rearrange this passage to say something like this: "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus right now. Whether you feel this at an emotional level or not, that is the truth. So get in the habit of constant prayer, and you will come more and more in contact with this gift of peace. Do not beat yourself up that you have anxious thoughts. This is our common human tendency. Do not suppose that, like the Stoics, that you can banish your anxiety through self-mastery and be indifferent to the ups and downs of life. Only the peace of God in Jesus Christ can master your anxieties. Holding our sorrow and our joy together is a delicate balance. Letting go of our worries and settling into peace is an elusive act. But at the heart of all of this is the promise that the Lord is near. We are not on our own, ever. The kingdom is coming. On Monday night, our congregational care volunteers were treated to an amazing dinner by Joy Schnell and an inspiring talk by Mandy Benedix. She closed her talk with a powerful video interview with a boy named Jaden and his guardian, Aunt Barbara. In some ways, this video is similar to the one that Paul shared last week. Maybe that's a good reminder to us as we venture down Sesame Street. We are reminded of the scripture, "And a little child shall lead them." Let's see how Jaden finds a way to create joy in the midst of great grief.
It is every kid's worst nightmare, and 6-year-old Jaden Hayes has lived it.
Ah!
Twice. First, he lost his dad when he was 4. Then last month, his mom died unexpectedly in her sleep.
I tried and I tried, I tried to get her away. Couldn't.
Jaden is understandably heartbroken.
Anybody can die. Just anybody.
But there's another side to his grief. A side he first made public a few weeks ago when he told his aunt and now guardian, Barbara DeCola, that he was sick and tired of seeing everyone sad all the time. And he had a plan to fix it.
And that was the beginning of it. That's where the adventure began.
Jaden asked his Aunt Barbara to buy a bunch of little toys and bring them here to downtown Savannah, Georgia, near where he lives.
Thank you, sweetie.
So he could then...
You want me to have it?
Give them away.
Thank you, man.
What is it you're doing?
Well, I'm trying to make people smile. Rubber duckies, dinosaurs.
Because those are the things that make people smile.
Yeah.
And what happens to their face? Really?
Really.
See that man right there?
Jaden targets people who aren't already smiling and then turns their day around.
He made me smile.
He's gone out on 4 different occasions now, and he's always successful.
It's to make you smile.
Even if sometimes he doesn't get exactly the reaction he was hoping for. It is just so overwhelming to some people that a 6-year-old orphan would give away a toy, expecting nothing in return except a smile. Of course, he is paid handsomely in hugs. And his aunt says these reactions have done wonders for Jaden.
It's like sheer joy came out of this child. And the more people that he made smile, the more this light shone.
Jaden says that's mostly true.
But I'm still sad that my mom died.
I bet you are.
This is by no means a fix, but in the smiles he's made so far, nearly 500 at last count, Jaden has clearly found a purpose.
I'm counting on it to be 33,000.
33,000?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big goal.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can make that goal?
I think I can.
I think he can, too. Friends, our world is hurting. Oftentimes, our own lives are full of pain. But we have this promise from God to always be near. Sometimes we feel it in the beauty of fireflies or the thrill of a water slide. Sometimes we are reminded of it in our memories of outrageous, life-grabbing fun. And sometimes it looks like an Aunt Barbara who joins in our wild whims of giving. The good news is that joy is always possible. Today, in this moment, no matter what else is weighing us down, because God is near, may we trust in God's presence and God's care. May we try to let go a little of all that we're trying so desperately to hold on to. May we pour out our prayers of worry, trusting that the Lord our God has got us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we're thankful for your constant presence and abiding love. And God, we pray that you would open our eyes to the joy around us, to your presence and light. Help us to share that with others. And all God's children said, amen. Let us